Over the years, I have attended many gatherings among God's people, and it has always been impressive to me to see the willingness of brethren to pitch in, to help, or to do whatever was needed in, you know, those times when we do get together. And maybe you can think of the same experience. There are, unfortunately, some other experiences. There are those who always seem to be staying in the background, who, while others are doing the heavy lifting, and it's kind of like the coyotes, you know, hiding in the tall grass waiting for the big bad bear to, you know, make a meal for them. But at any rate, they kind of stay back. They don't get involved. And as a matter of fact, they, if you watch, are typically the ones who rush in to the front of the line or are trying to take credit for something maybe they didn't actually do. But, you know, the job's done, so it's time to celebrate. Let me give you an example to start with from the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Luke chapter 14 and verse 7, and I'll begin to read here. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The lesson of this parable, brethren, is to be willing to humble yourself, oneself, ourselves, myself, when it comes to these kinds of things. The title of my sermonette is Make Yourself Useful. And here are 3 points, some ways to make yourself useful. Let's begin with a first point. Don't neglect your opportunity to be useful. It has to do with faithfulness as a character trait. You're going to have opportunities to be useful. Don't pass them by. You don't have to volunteer for everything, but certainly you must have a willing heart to step in when there is a need. And sometimes the needs are so unrecognized, let's say. They are sitting in the lowest place, as Christ said, and then doing what you should effectively there. But let's go to Matthew 25. And my first point is not to neglect the opportunity to be useful. And we have an example of someone who did that very thing. In Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30, a parable by Jesus, completing it here. After he had given some remarkably good examples, he comes to this one in verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered." Scattered seed, complete the sentence here. Verse 25, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." Now, this man, this individual in the parable, evidently felt pretty justified to do it that way. The response by his Lord was a little different. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given." Now, there's an important principle we need to seize on. if you're contributing, if you're doing your part, more opportunities will come your way and blessings. Continuing in verse 29, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14 on this first point still of not neglecting the opportunity that we have to be useful. And especially, brethren, as I think you can sense from the direction in my sermonette, we're talking about being useful to God first. And of course, hand in hand with that was to be useful to our neighbor, who we are supposed to love as ourselves. Okay, in Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I've watched people, again, over the years, depart from the living God because they didn't get enough acclaim, aplomb, of a notoriety, the spotlight, ordination, whatever it might be that they thought they deserved, but in reality, it was wrong for them. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confession, our confidence, I should say, steadfast to the end. We're going to have opportunities to make ourselves useful to God, and that's going to go right up to the return of Jesus Christ, and then it doesn't stop there. It will go on into eternity. Second point, do what you can to be successful. To be useful. Do what you can to be useful, and this involves an attitude of service along with the actions of service. Mark 14 is a remarkable scripture in many respects and for many reasons, among those being the reaction of people around the individual who was offering this useful service to Jesus Christ. And now he himself considered it useful. And we'll see what he said. This is having to do with an anointing that occurred just before his death. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? What an attitude. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. Well, that, in actual fact, if some of the commentaries would say that was equivalent to about a year's salary for the lower class individuals, but still a very expensive anointing. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. She was useful, certainly. In fact, they say that a criminal typically was not anointed. A criminal's death in among the Jews of that time occurred, and they didn't anoint the body and properly prepare it for burial. That's why you find the women going out after the Sabbath after the high day to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, and I should say the Sabbath, and it was something that they, by their custom, did, but this had already been done. But again, just a side point here, I'm probably confusing you with that, but it's interesting how all of these things play out in the society of that time, and it helps to understand it a little more deeply. Let me continue. In verse 7 of chapter 14 of Mark, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good, or do them good, but me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. And that's the underlying principle. She did what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. And normally that anointing would happen after death, not before. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Lady, come up to the front. It's kind of like that. Take the front seat in this marriage ceremony, like we are reading about in Luke. Romans 15 is a reference I'd like to just generally refer to here because it gives us a record of those individuals in the Church of God in that time who did remarkable things. Let's go to Romans 16. I think it's where I want to be. Romans 16. As you go down, you see different individuals written about here. It talks about Phoebe, a servant of the church, and Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers, who risked their own necks for Paul on his behalf, for his life. The church is in their house. Greet Mary, who labored much. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker with Christ. And it continues on talking about people who were involved in the work, who were useful to the Church of God at that time. And brethren, I think there is no greater parallel in the examples I'll be giving today than what lies before us as the opportunity to be of service, to be useful to God. Third point, develop your usefulness. So that has to do with growth, brethren. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21, and here's an insightful set of instructions from Paul to Timothy, but left for a record for us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, from lawlessness, disobedience. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now note carefully, verse 21, therefore if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. That takes growth. That takes doing those useful things within the body of Christ and before God so that they can attain that kind of a profile in their lives. Vessels for honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. A good admonition. 1 Corinthians 15, 8 through 10, I think we can refer to the example of Paul, who started as a persecutor of the church, was not useful at all to God in that role or in that mode, but he went on to become the most dynamic, probably the most dynamic apostle of his generation, excluding, of course, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 8 through 10. He's talking about Jesus Christ being seen after his resurrection, and then we pick up the verses here in verse 8. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one, or by one born out of the due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. This is this humble attitude that Jesus Christ was talking about that we should all maintain. And he goes on to say, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That, you know, and his purpose, of course, was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles and to, of course, the nation of Israel as they received it, as that opportunity came up. A familiar statement goes something like this, brethren. They should make themselves useful to society, right? If you heard that, especially comes with talking about legal issues and criminals and redemption for those who have done wrong. The idea is to serve and contribute beyond, in a way, beyond one's own selfish motives or needs. For Christians, I think this expression has a rather astonishing application. And I'd like to conclude by referring to Matthew 24, verse 22. How useful are we to the Church of God? How useful are we in this generation? Well, I think this may answer it for us if we're among those mentioned here. Matthew 24 and verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Brethren, be among the elect, those who serve God and for whom He will save life on this earth. Make yourself useful.